This must be the cavern. What's up, Vivi?
Have you ever heard of the Ice Cavern?
Sure. Is this the place?
I think so. It's supposed to be near the Evil Forest.
I've heard of it. It's supposed to be a beautiful place covered in ice.
My grandpa told me about this place. He said the cavern takes travellers to the top of the mist.
Hi, and welcome to the second Nerds Assemble Extra. I'm Emily.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Paul.
Hi.
And this time we looked at what time of year it is. Nights are getting...
Yeah, it's getting colder.
Nights are getting longer. It's definitely getting colder.
Yes.
I defrosted the car for the first time yesterday, so it's really kicked in now.
And I haven't seen anyone in shorts for like 2 weeks. So it must be colder.
Really? Not even the students?
Not even the students. You know what they're usually like.
Yeah, they're renowned for, you know, wearing shorts and...
I do wonder, though, if they're like, you know, people from colder places that come to Cornwall. Like, this is absolutely balmy. It's fine. Mm. It's warm. It's like the Mediterranean.
Yes, you can always tell when people come from Antarctica. Because, you know, they're wearing bikinis and stuff like that in the winter.
Yeah.
The beaks help as well. The little black suits.
Yes.
Hmm.
But we wanted to talk to you in this episode about ice, snow, cold stuff in video games. And how it's used in levels and locations and the various things this kind of means. And our experiences of suffering through icy levels in games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think is probably the best ice level or location, or even snow location, in a video game that you've played?
The best.
Yep, the best, Emily. Speak up.
The best. Shall we just get in with the kicker right away?
It's a bit of a cheat, but yeah, go for it.
Skyrim.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah, every square inch of Skyrim.
Yeah.
I thought, surely not all of it's covered in snow.
It all has the potential to be covered in snow.
Yeah, there's some indoory bits with fires.
And I would say, like about more than a third is snow.
Yeah, dwarven central heating's pretty good, but everywhere else is a little bit cold.
I mean, it was certainly a step up from the snowy mountains of Oblivion, because there was no snow in Morrowind, because it was
snowless.
It was a bit warm, you know, it's kind of like...
A little bit volcanic.
A little bit volcanic, yeah. Mm, but otherwise,
that could do it, yeah.
Snow, yeah. And Skyrim is... It's just so much of it.
Does remind me of the volcanoes in Iceland, though. No, sorry. Is it Iceland or Greenland?
No,
yeah, I believe
both...
it is Iceland.
They're both cold.
They're both cold and both volcanic. So, yeah, it's like when the lava kind of comes out, it's kind of flowing and it, you know, freezes almost.
I wonder if there's a snowball mod for Skyrim.
What, a snowball throwing mod?
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
I should have had that as, you know, because when you're playing with the kids in Skyrim, that I've played, I've seen Emily play with the kids in Skyrim,
That sounds so dirty.
Yeah. when they're playing, you know, hide and seek and stuff, that's not getting any better.
Tag.
That's...
It is tag and hide and seek, and I think that's it. But a snowball fight would have been awesome.
Yes, that would have been.
Because there's a couple of the houses, at least one of the houses, I think, is actually out in a snowy place, whereas one's more in, like, the sort of more moderate inclement sort of, it just rains and occasionally snows.
But, no, I mean, it's not just, you know, with RPGs, although most RPGs, I would probably say...
Have some of this cold.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with even the Final Fantasy series, obviously with Final Fantasy VII, we had the Northern Crater and whatnot, and kind of getting up there, you kind of had to, warm yourself up and whatnot. We'll probably talk about that a bit later. Final Fantasy VIII, there was, like, Trabia Garden.
Yeah.
And that didn't really alter, you know, the gameplay.
It was just the north was cold.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean... The geographical location of north kind of pretty much, you know, is means that it's going to be cold pretty much.
In 9, we had the Ice Cavern, which I'm hoping some of you might have recognised the introduction from. But
and if they haven't, what are you going to say to them?
Play Final Fantasy 9.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
You're fine, I haven't.
We've got it on the original PlayStation as well as on the PSP. Hmm. So, yeah, we've got an original PSP, but we don't have a Vita.
Anyway, ice levels elsewhere, outside of RPGs, you were trying to say.
Well, I mean, technically, it depends on what you describe as an RPG. I'd pretty much say that Zelda is not quite an RPG, it's more of an action game, basically because of the functionality of it. Yeah. But there have been, like, numerous snow levels in the Legend of Zelda games. I mean, pretty much every single one has one in, as far as I'm aware. With Ocarina of Time, there was when you're kind of playing as Adult Link, then you've got where Jabu Jabu was, and that kind of leads into the Water Temple. With Majora's Mask, there's like an entire kind of section with Gorons on that does have it as well. With Twilight Princess, there is the Yetis, which I found quite weird in a way. Because it's not something that you'd kind of expect in, like, a Zelda game to kind of shoot down this, you know, kind of ski slope type thing, you know, in one of those kind of ice shards almost, all the way down to the bottom.
Also, there was the frozen lake. The lake was all frozen as well in Twilight Princess, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, Zora's Domain, which is the second time that it's been frozen.
Seems to be a recurring issue for them.
Absolutely. But
needs more dwarven plumbing.
Yeah, let's see. Skyward Sword. Let's see, because we had. Sorry.
You had stuff.
Yep.
You had stuff. Oof.
I can't remember where it was now. Actually. What's the matter? So what? It's gonna pick me up.
You like this. Oh, so much.
Yeah, and did you see that on there?
Hmm? I'm just concerned. We can pause for a moment though, in a minute, and if what's this? If you
I can't remember the location of it now. So there was the foresty area, there was the water area, there was.
If you remember it, we'll start recording properly again.
And no, there wasn't actually one as far as I can tell.
Okay, if we pause for 5 seconds, and then you'd say you can't remember one. Okay.
I think the one Zelda game that is, as far as I can recollect, is missing an ice dungeon is actually Skyward Sword. But I think to a certain extent, Skyward Sword played around with kind of themes of kind of levels so much that it kind of
it did could get okay away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think the hometown in Skyward Sword was pretty cold as well, what with being above the clouds.
Yeah, it wasn't icy and it wasn't snowy, but. Must have been quite chilly. I'd imagine. There again, you've got the sun's rays because it's above the clouds. So it's, yeah. I don't know, maybe at night it'll probably get very, very cold up there.
Do you want two other games that, or two games on the series that have had snow's just been everywhere almost, or it's certainly been cold for everyone?
Lost Planet?
I'm not going to talk about Lost Planet.
That can stay buried beneath the ice.
Yes.
You liked it that much.
Oh, yeah. No, the last two Batman games, Arkham City and Arkham Origins. I mean, Arkham City was cold in places and there was ice in that because Mr. Freeze was acting up. But it was also...
Acting up.
acting up. But it was also cold just in general because it was the middle of winter, as far as I could tell. Mm. And there was this whole thing with all the... political prisoners, as it were, you know, not the regular prisoners, the poor people of Arkham, well, not Arkham, of Gotham, who'd ended up in there, all freezing, standing around. Mm. You know, they got these winter jackets on everything, and just everything's just so cold. The only person who ever seems to feel the cold is Batman. But I'm sure he had nipple erections anyway.
Rubber suit.
Okay, moving on from Batman, we go to Mario.
He also has rubber nipples.
What, Mario?
What do you think the dungaree straps cover?
Oh my god.
And you can never play Mario again.
His buttons seem to be harder than usual.
Oh, but ice levels on Mario games.
Yep, because I cut Emily off there. Ha ha. Yeah, so in general, with Mario games, you generally tend to get themes. And ice worlds are usually kind of a theme in that, obviously, with much like most kind of Nintendo games in a way. Even like Metroid Prime had an ice world. Well, ice level, anyway. I think Palindra Drift or something like that.
I don't know.
Yep, you were both looking blankly, so yeah. I remain the victor on that one. So, but yeah, it's amazing how level design, when it comes to computer games, generally tends to kind of fall into kind of these kind of fire levels, ice levels, water levels, earth levels, stuff like that, almost like picking like almost the elements, as it were, in order to kind of build kind of a coherent, well, a varied world, put that way.
Certainly, it's a staple of older game design.
It's a good way to new...
Older game design. It's not necessarily something that people are continuing now, but it's something that was quite prevalent previously.
I'd say that it's still today. It's still around.
Yeah, like in Resident Evil 6.
Oh, that was not good. That was not good.
That...
I mean, couldn't really have one in Resident Evil 4, could we?
No, it was meant to be near Spain.
Yeah.
In very not the winter.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you say that it's to do with whether the story of the game is actually set in the real world? Really? Because, I mean, unless, obviously, you go into somewhere like Antarctica or the Arctic or maybe parts of Russia or something like that, then you wouldn't really encounter that much ice, apart from, like, Alaska and, you know, obviously other countries.
And other
like
places that, in the winter.
Yeah.
Because winter makes ice happen, apparently.
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 That's what I've heard from the grapevine.
Yeah.
Not around here, it's so warm here.
let's put some shorts on now.
It's quite a good way to introduce new game elements, though, is to have separate elemental worlds at the beginning so that people learn how to deal with fire or with ice, and then slowly mix them up as you get further on and combine them to
that's the
kill people, originally.
In a way, I think it's... a good thing that these kind of different levels kind of exist to challenge the player, because if it was just you do the same thing throughout the entire game, then it'd be incredibly boring. It's the fact that you have to kind of accommodate for stuff like, you know, water mechanics and you know, kind of ice levels, fire levels, if you kind of have like a character that either kind of burns to death in them or whether they kind of jump out and, you know, do what Mario does, which is kind of run around with their bum on fire. but yeah, it kind of forces you to kind of learn new skills in a way.
Yeah.
I've just thought of another game with ice.
Go for it.
Second Sight. A whole load of that game takes place in like the Siberian wasteland.
Why did we
not
think of that before? We did a Let's Play on it, which is actually live now if you want to go watch it. Hint, hint.
Or Hex Play, but yes.
What did I say?
You said Let's Play. We never label them.
No, it's not Let's Play, it's Hex Play, because we do a little bit different.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, the Second Sight, half of that game is essentially in a frozen wasteland, whilst the other half is somewhere in America.
I mean, even like in GoldenEye, there was the Siberia level.
Yeah.
It didn't really kind of change the mechanics per se, but... it did provide like a quite open space, very, very sparse, so it's, you know, kind of easy to kind of dodge around, you know, kind of enemies trying to kill you. And there was enemies that were wearing camouflage gear. So that was kind of, it did kind of create an interesting kind of, well, I want to shoot this guy over there. I'm probably going to miss. He's camouflaged, but I'll have a go anyway.
And the game that has snow for almost, no, for pretty much all of it, Fahrenheit.
Yes, that's very true.
Or
actually,
the Indigo Prophecy for American listeners.
Yeah.
The game that Quantic Dream did before all the stuff that everyone now knows them for, basically. Because the whole point of that was that the world was essentially getting colder due to the events happening in it. And apart from some flashback moments, everything was slowly getting colder and colder. People were putting on more and more layers. You were seeing less and
almost
less people
as though,
around.
Almost as though kind of the planet was dying type thing.
Yeah. Which I think in a way it was meant to be anyway in the game. So that was quite interesting, just watching everything kind of slowly descend into an icy death.
Mm.
Like everything was kind of in its death throes, and ice was actually portrayed in quite a negative way.
Yeah.
In Fahrenheit, it was literally affecting everything in the game. I mean, I don't think there were any mechanics really about trying to keep warm.
Yeah.
But all the characters around the character you play as were being heavily affected by the increase in cold.
Mm. You, as a nerd character, wouldn't care.
No. Wait, is that a spoiler? That's technically a spoiler. I hope. It's been out a while.
Yeah, it's been out a while. If you haven't played it and you actually are interested in playing it, why haven't you played it?
It's actually one of the games I like to play to make me feel Christmassy.
Seriously?
Yes.
Just... You have a weird idea of Christmas.
See, I've heard the Bigamy at Christmas song, but Necrophilia at Christmas, that is something completely different.
You don't have to have that scene. You can choose not to, unless you're American, in which case you don't have any option over it because it was cut for you.
That's true.
So,
ask me a cold one, please.
Oh!
Yeah, we've reached the new low in Necrophilia jokes.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I've been trying to think about...
What have you got for Christmas? Morally outraged!
I think almost all the Final Fantasy games have had a degree of ice as well. Though.
Yeah.
I mean, we named, the, you know, like 7, 8 and 9. But even 10 did, because Mechalina Lake was all frozen.
Yes, well, it's more kind of crystalline than frozen per se. But yeah, I completely agree with you.
6 is very snowy. It opens in a snowy village in an ice cave where you find that first Esper. Mm. And you go back there later and face the army, basically.
I didn't get any... I don't know if 12 eventually had a snowy place, but obviously a load of it's really set in desert kind of locations.
Yeah.
So I don't remember there ever being any snow. And 13... Was there any snow in 13? I don't think there was any snow in 13, was there?
Well, there was a character called Snow.
Yeah, other than that. and, you know, the... That was a weird one.
Final Fantasy 13. It just doesn't really fit in, really.
It didn't have as varied environmental.
And it didn't have memorable characters. That's one of the things
I think the only reason people managed to remember Lightning is because she's like a weird female version of Cloud,
yeah.
But with less memory issues.
And then there's Sars, which is basically like a thin Barrett, without the gun.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even got the green jacket. Come on.
But let's get back to ice,
yeah.
Baby.
Ah, oh, that. Ah, oh, ah, oh, out. Get out.
No. I got a coffee here. I will finish drinking this coffee before I leave. God damn it.
It's getting quite cold now. But yeah, I mean, it's a mainstay, and as far as I'm aware, though, there's only been one real game that I've played, at least. That has actually used snow very, very, very well in terms of atmosphere, which is actually Silent Hill, because that, you know, it's obviously snowing in there, and to a certain extent that's kind of hiding in the fog effects and whatnot. But it's about not being able to kind of see kind of 3 foot in front of you, which
the fact that they chose to do it that way to hide their clipping planes and because of technology limitations doesn't make it any less effective.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you could kind of argue that it's kind of to hide that. A bit like Resident Evil with the doors, you know, kind of hiding loading times and whatnot. And it did force you to actually rely on your sense of hearing when it comes to kind of, you know, kind of enemies that are around because of the radio, which is quite very, very good tactic, actually, because if you can actually see... You know, kind of your way through and whatnot, and navigate. It's not as, you know, kind of horrific as, I mean, a bit like Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil games, where you had static camera angles. Part of that was to basically obscure what you can and cannot see. So, despite the fact that your character can see, you know, quite a way down and could see the zombies coming towards you, because of the camera angles, you couldn't see that.
Another Resident Evil snow. Code Veronica!
Yes. Also, Umbrella Chronicles.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm just...
Well, we're doing very good at this, aren't we?
Isn't Umbrella Chronicles just a greatest hits, though?
Kind of.
A little bit, because it's a retelling of 0, 1, and... is it 3?
Don't remember.
But you do also have, like, an extra story that wasn't told where you actually go to. Where is it?
Where's what?
A snowy place. A snowy place. I can't remember where the location was meant to be.
Were they meant to be in the sort of somewhere near the Antarctic in Code Veronica?
See, I was going to say it was the Arctic. Yeah.
I'm going to say Antarctic because there's more ice in the Antarctic that you can actually walk on and not die a horrible death.
That's true.
Unlike the Arctic, where it's far more limited as to sort of ice you can travel over. If you're lower in the Arctic Circle, it's not so bad, but that's probably because there's land underneath you rather than sea.
But when it comes to kind of the mechanics of, what changes kind of thing, obviously there's kind of several things that do change.
Enemies!
Yep, enemies, obviously. Yep, enemies do change. As I said before...
The bears are a different colour.
Yeah. Trying to think about that. As I mentioned before, Final Fantasy VII, they had a bit where you're kind of climbing up the cliff face and you had to kind of keep warm or else you would, kind of fall and whatnot. But and even in that kind of mazy kind of area where you can get Alexander...
Yeah, there was only so long you could walk around.
Yeah, before you kind
inside.
Of got back to...
Yeah, you would like collapse.
Back to base, yeah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even keep warm in that part, so you just kind of almost like a time thing where you kind of do whatever you can because there were a couple of goodies around, including as I said, Alexander. There was at least one All Materia and several other things, I believe.
I think Final Fantasy VIII didn't really do anything with ice other than the enemies situation. It was just kind of like, oh dear, there's cold enemies here. Some of them weren't that. But they mixed up a bit because you had some that you'd think everything was going to be like weak against fire, and then there was like one enemy that wasn't. It was like a weird kind of like it was a white thing with stripes. I can't remember what it was called, but
Zebra.
it floated.
Oh,
and it did like thunder type magic. Gala, yeah. Meanwhile. Just a little bit further south on the actual Balam Island, you did have like that one sort of first monster that did do ice and didn't like fire.
Okay.
So I always felt it was a bit weird. Mm. And they had you had the Mesmerites were elsewhere, but they were on Icy the goat things.
Yeah, they were in Esther.
Yeah, as well. But weren't they also in Icy?
Yeah. Getting to fight the Marlboros in that game, won't you? Yeah.
Meanwhile, in 9, they did play around. I mean, because the main. I can't remember if later on in the game there was any other ice bits that you went to. I don't think there necessarily were, but certainly in the ice cavern, you could affect the environment a little bit. There were like bits of ice and stuff you could knock down or get Vivi to melt in order to access more areas and items and stuff.
I've just thought of another reason why I do actually like Final Fantasy VII, VIII and X, is that they all actually have explanations for why there are random enemies running around. With VII, it's obviously the kind of mutations that kind of occur from, kind of Mako and stuff like that. With Final Fantasy VIII, it's the Moon's Cry, or Lunar Cry, rather.
I know why 9 is. It's because of the mist.
Okay.
In 9.
And with Final Fantasy X, it's basically dead spirits that have basically had to linger and then kind of merged and kind of created, kind of a monster.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It all kind of works in the end. I'm trying to get out of Final Fantasy now for mechanics and snow.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, well, obviously there's the kind of slippiness of the Mario games, for example.
Does that happen wherever there's like snow and ice in the Mario games?
Yes, yeah, it pretty much has. It's been a case of you generally tend to, when you try and stop, you can't do it that well. And if you're kind of running in one direction and you suddenly turn around and try and run in the other direction, you're still kind of skidding a little bit before. Yeah.
Even in some of the Pokemon games, there's either been like ice-based gyms and or like maybe somebody in the Elite Four. I haven't played the Pokemon game all the way through in a while.
Bits. Dungeons and stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, and there'll be like, you have to figure out the right direction to slide in amongst this little icy maze.
And there's four rocks to bash against, and they're arranged really stupidly, and you have to,
Yeah.
I mean, in Zelda, even though obviously you have certain ice enemies and whatnot, and you do kind of skid a lot more, And obviously there's the stalactites that kind of drop down on you, almost as though they're trying to attack you because they're sentient. Or whatever. But you also actually get those kind of weird kind of ice crystal thingamajiggies that you have to stick that kind of blue flame on, if you remember those, which is quite interesting. It's kind of a, you know, weird kind of version of kind of ice, which is, well, actually plain bizarre, if you ask me. Okay, most, I would say that most other games, the ones that have ice rather than kind of snow or anything, they don't generally tend to do much more than that in terms of differing game mechanics.
Except for something like Lost Planet, where ice was a problem, constantly a problem, and maybe that's why I stopped playing it. I'm not sure, it's either that or it just, it's, there's painful memories there. I've tried to suppress them so long after trying to play like the first hour of it and giving up because I died so many times. But the fact that, I mean, they've played three games of that, like it's icy things. And I don't know if I've been put off playing Dead Space 3 because of the fact that they're planet side and it's icy. And it's just like, oh man, you know, it's because everything, when they, obviously it was released this year, and everything that they started sort of producing for it in terms of the marketing in the run-up to its release made it look like it was kind of a bit Lost Planet, and I got mad. I'm not the only person with bad memories and associations with that game.
I mean, even Mario Kart has its fair share of you know, ice tracks as well, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
that left turn on that first penguin level is a nightmare. I have never not fallen in the water there.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay. If, are we talking about the one... Which one are we talking about? Because I think I've only played it most on Wii U.
I think it's from the original 64. Or Mario Kart 64. Right, yeah.
I think it's... Was it Sherbet Land or something like
that?
Yes. Where you have the penguins that kind of dive.
I've got more of a problem in the caves. I don't tend to end up in the water, but I end up slamming into walls in the caves.
Yeah, I'm usually very good when it comes to, that one turn there. I usually manage to kind of just skid at just the right angle so that I kind of clip the you know, kind of bit, but still kind of remain on the ice. So
maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it just gives me that, you know, tiny kind of split second
edge, which is critical when you're playing online with people. Yeah.
But it's the same slidey mechanics as a lot of games, but because you're in cars, it's a hell of a lot worse. Than Mario Kart.
Yeah. Which do you think are worse, ice levels or water levels? Because obviously Zelda Ocarina of Time has a really, really bad rap for its water level. I mean, I'm personally fine with it. I don't necessarily see what all the fuss is about. Maybe I'm just, you know, the odd person out here, but
in the main bits of, say, 10, where you did have to swim around, which were in a certain set of ruins, like at the beginning, near the beginning of the game, Barge Temple, and also when you come back to get Anima, that was a pain to actually swim around in because they hadn't quite got the control sorted. Like Blitzball was fine, and trying to move around a Blitzball was fine, but that was because you didn't have to really worry about going up and down. You only moved around on one pane.
Plane, sorry,
in Blitzball. But when you actually had to explore things as part of the main story, that became a pain in the ass. Basically.
I mean, obviously, with Mario, once again, going back to Mario. You can tell I'm a Nintendo fan. But yeah, with Mario, obviously the underwater levels, they've got a completely different mechanic to it, hasn't it? And it's, I would say that the water levels are kind of annoying, actually. Especially when you have like a fish that kind of chases you, that can kind of one hit kill you. But it's just like, no, go away!
I can't remember, in the Mario with the water levels, do you have a limit on how long you're underwater? Is he can breathe for however long?
He can breathe.
As long as the time limit.
On the 2D versions of it, it's, you know, however... With the 3D versions of it, on the
other hand. Yeah, because, like
Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy.
There are limits.
And usually, well, at least in the N64, Mario could actually breathe through his hat, which is kind of weird, because you can kind of just submerge just enough so that your hat's tipping out the water, recover all of your kind of oxygen back, and then dive back under. It's like, his mouth did not reach the surface. How is he doing this?
Snorkels somewhere.
Snorkel in his hat.
But then where's the connection to his mouth?
Through his moustache.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got you sorted. We've got you sorted, Mario. Are there any other water levels that, you know, kind of radically kind of change the gameplay as well?
I've got my really bad experience of the third Tomb Raider where I couldn't figure out what the hell I was meant to be doing in, like, the first level and just kept diving into the water and dying. There was that. I literally could not figure out what I was meant to be doing with Lara at all. I was just like, get in the water, die. Great.
I mean, once again, Legend of Zelda. Another one. You could, like, dive straight down. Or, you know, can have the, you know, kind of iron boots go right the way down and kind of almost...
Yeah.
It was still kind of changing the mechanic because when you kind of rolled, you only rolled a little distance and you kind of, you know, didn't... It took much longer to kind of get anywhere down underneath. But you can actually kind of swim along the surface a little bit. And I think if you're kind of playing as the Zora Link in Majora's Mask, for example, then you are able to kind of, you know, kind of freely kind of... swim around quite fast.
It's the same in Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
Has swimming been getting better in games, do we think?
That's a tricky one.
I always find that the camera point of view tends to switch around in ways that it doesn't otherwise do on land.
True.
And it gets really bad. It's like, you thought you were going the right way and then suddenly you realise the camera had flipped. And you're so not going the right way anymore.
The other thing is, with the camera, because obviously when you're kind of... just floating on the surface somewhere. Obviously, you want the camera, you know, kind of up there so that you can kind of see where you are in relation to the world and whatnot. But when it comes to underwater or just under the water, and the camera kind of gets kind of in between, over top and under, and it just doesn't look right and gets confusing.
It gets a bit weird on, say, playing Skyrim sometimes on either console or PC, and you're on, say, first-person perspective... And you're sort of like you can't quite decide whether or not the head is out of the water or in the water.
Yeah, you're in shallow water where you're just about to start swimming.
and it's like it's just going up and down. It's just weird, sort of juddery, horribleness.
And even Team Fortress 2 has water in as well. I mean, you know, kind of it doesn't necessarily change anything to do with kind of firepower, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong about that. Apart from, like, the pyros, you know, kind of flame, because that's a bit redundant in water.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, and that I think that is probably one of the original achievements that I haven't actually got, which was, I think it was meant to be, you set someone on fire, you shotgun them underwater, and you kind of hammer them with a axe or something like that, all in one life or something. And I've just never got around to actually getting that achievement on Steam. So, what do you think makes a memorable ice level, world or location?
If they use the ice and snow for something other than decoration,
that
makes a difference.
If it's referenced in the story in some way,
that too.
That's a good one.
I say that, and then I realise that kind of goes against everything I said about Skyrim. Ice and snow are never used as a mechanic in Skyrim.
Unless, of course, you've got that certain mod. Unless you've got Frostfall.
Yeah.
In which case it becomes a mechanic, and you have to fight for survival against the cold.
And even though it's kind of an extra level of challenge, or extra thing to kind of keep track of, in your opinion, it is far more enjoyable.
It is, because...
Sorry, I'm telling you what your opinion is now, sorry.
Yeah, it is far more enjoyable because you are having to work against the environment. You know, you're having to do the proper human thing of adapting the environment to suit your needs.
Mm.
And if you don't, you'll die. And it's far more interesting than waiting around for a dragon to suddenly show up and try and kill you. Because that's always an issue once you start playing the game with harder difficulties anyway. And if you're playing, if you're playing on easy difficulty, like, you can still adjust the difficulty of the mod. So it's as difficult as you think you'll be able to cope with, and you can customise it actually so that certain effects don't affect you or they affect you more. And, you know, you can go down quite a bit as to what you actually want it to sort of do. Mm. But it's nice, like, because say you're out in the snow and a snowstorm starts up, and you basically need to make sure you've got a tent around with you, apart from that you should be wearing fur-based clothing. Well, I say fur-based clothing, armour. When you'll put your tent up, get a fire started, maybe cook yourself some food, and just get in and sort of weather the snowstorm, basically.
It's interesting that you say about the kind of fur, because I think that would be kind of an interesting thing to do with something like Skyrim, is because you have a whole host of, in any RPG, you have a whole host of different types of armour. You know, you kind of have leather armour, you have chainmail, you have, you know, this, you have that. And to have it so that basically you've got to equip or carry the lower class armours to suit, you know, your situation is actually, I think, a mechanic that's probably not been, you know, kind of dealt with very much.
If I remember correctly, I think if you're a Nord and you've got the mod going,
yeah,
and you've got it properly activated, because they've got a resistance to frost innate in them, you don't get as badly affected by the cold effects as well.
But it's still there in the background. Yeah.
You see, I was wondering that because I play as an Argonian, and being cold-blooded, Skyrim is probably a really bad place for me to be. It's probably not a very good place for dragons, if you actually think about it. Big lizards, they're not the last.
But then again, they're meant to have that whole... Well, some of them are meant to have that whole fire-breathing thing. Some of them breathes ice, remember?
So they're lizards full of ice. That's... Yes.
Ice lizards.
Bad thinking.
But, sorry, were you going to say something?
I was like, the stuff where it's actually, I think it's when, it, as I was trying to say, is when it sort of like, it is noted in the story as an issue. Like, in Arkham City, everyone's frigging cold. You listen, you sort of hang around, as Batman, obviously, moving Catwoman on a street corner. And if you're not in sight of enemies so that they don't start trying to fight you, they're talking amongst themselves and all that. Like, God, you know, it's fucking cold, you know. Jeez, you know.
And the F word.
Well, it might.
It's
I don't
freezing.
Think it's, yeah, it's freezing. And some of them will be like, you know, oh, it's snow, blah, blah, it's wind, blah, blah. And I was like, and then some of them, the ones I think when you get closer to where Mr. Freeze is, like, set up, they're like, you know, they think it's freeze that's made it so bad where he's holed up in... The Gotham Central sort of Police Department's kind of building.
Okay.
I think it's there that he's hanging out, yeah.
Are you sure? I thought Bane was there. Well, no, that's... No, I think Bane's somewhere else, actually.
Bane's somewhere else.
But, yeah, I think for me, it would have to be... It's got to have a good atmosphere. You know, it's got to, you know, kind of give something to kind of the whole theme. Dare I say it, going back to Mario again.
Oh, God,
you have the ice-based jingle, so, you know, the kind of the high-pitched, you know, kind of ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, or whatever. So, you know, it kind of has to kind of fit in with that, and similar with, dare I say it, Zelda again.
I mean, the music will change in places. I mean, in the Final Fantasy games, the music doesn't tend to generally change unless you're within... a location within a part of the world map.
Yeah.
But then, say, for instance, the thingy village that's near Trebigan, where the species...
Oh, Shumi.
Shumi village. It's got kind of like a slight jingle to it that does feel like it's somewhere that's warm and out of the cold, and you're very thankful for it. If that makes sense. Meanwhile, like the ice cavern in 9's got its own kind of like, you know, kind of like wonder. You can almost, if you listen to it, almost sounds like there are amazing the ice crystals and just this whole wondrous location, beautiful location, like Garnet says, surrounding you. If you don't look at the screen, if you just listen to kind of like the music that will sometimes go and. Certainly the music, I think, around Lake Macalania.
Oh, yeah, that's very tingly.
Yeah, it's always tingly. Music. Tingly music.
I think even the Siberia level for, you know, Goldeneye, that has kind of a couple of jingles, and it's like ding, 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 kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the James Bond theme played on wine glasses.
Pretty much. But, yeah, I think that's, in general, what needs to go into an ice level, to be honest. So, how well do you think developers have got around the concept of having an ice world or ice-based arena near other locations? Because when it comes to kind of game design, you obviously have levels that are in close proximity to each other, unless you're kind of dealing with something that where you kind of go from like one side of the planet to the other, to the other, to the other type thing.
I think so. In Mario, it tends not to make any sense. It's just, we can have an ice level and have different mechanics for a bit for the hell of it. But in a lot of other games, it does tend to be based on our own geography, the fact that maybe to the north, it will be cold, or to the south, it could be cold. Obviously, games that are actually based on the real world or on different types, because both Arkham City and Arkham Origins, and certainly Arkham Origins, is set at just before Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, and they are on the East Coast in America, which means if you consider some of the storms that unfortunately New York's had. And all that sort of coast and everything over the last couple of years at winter, it's like, yes, it can get cold. You can end up with tons of freezing snow. It can become this just crazy winter. Like, there is definitely more snow in Arkham Origins than there is in City. And, yeah, I mean, they make a whole thing of it, actually. You know, just the fact that it is, everyone's complaining a bit about it being cold. At the same time, there's a whole... But the criminals do look very well wrapped up in... Origins in comparison to City, because obviously in City, like, everyone's just kind of like been just rammed in there. They're lucky if they've been given any clothing kind of situation. In Origins, the city's technically as normal despite the events that are happening, but in Origins, everyone's kind of like, it's winter, we're all wrapped up, it's like the mercs, when they're outside, and that do look like they're a bit better dressed.
Okay.
Do they take extra punches because they're wearing their winter coats?
No, Batman does not heed the potential damage limitations of extra padding.
Hey, my sea lion felt that. You're in sea lion? No.
That was your Batman impression, that you're wearing sea lion, or one of the mercs talking to one of the other mercs.
You're wearing sea lion.
Okay, that's...
Is that better?
Yeah, that was the Batman impression. So it's also, time of year, and obviously how we're aware of it, sort of on a geographic kind of point. But also, there's one game we haven't mentioned that does have ice and stuff going on, but an entire series.
Go on.
Mass Effect.
Of course. But space games kind of get around this question, don't they? Yeah. How do you separate your different areas on different planets?
Yeah.
And that applies to everything from serious space games like Mass Effect to totally stupid ones like Mario Galaxy.
I mean, some of the planets, some of them are moons, but it does kind of make sense. We do have planets that are quite icy that we have viewed through various forms of telescope and radio telescope and whatnot, and obviously certainly like some of the moons that we've got in our own solar system are renowned.
Very, very cold.
They've been very cold, covered in lots of ice. Not necessarily ice made from water. Let's be sure about that. Some of it's stuff like frozen methane and all that, lovely gubbins like that. But the space is cold. And that's but then the coldness of space isn't actually something that gets discussed that much, despite its icy-like nature.
No. You could have quite a lot of ice levels in games like Dead Space just by having a hole in the ship. But do they actually do it that much?
No, not in the first... Certainly not in the first one, when you do, I would say, probably the most amount of spacewalking.
The
ice wasn't an issue.
I've just got a technical question. Even though, it's Mario Galaxy...
Yeah.
And whatnot. But in Mario Galaxy, right, you have, kind of hot worlds.
Yes.
Yes.
Then you have space, which should theoretically be pretty much 0 degree Kelvin.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly above it. And then you have ice worlds. And those seem like colder than space.
Well, Mario can breathe in space, so there's... Oh, no, he's got air pockets in his hat, we established this. So he's
fine.
It's already got some pretty serious issues. There's... One image I'm thinking of from Mario Galaxy is when there is an ice world and a fire world floating within a few meters of each other.
Exactly.
If
Mario
jumps off something, he can float from one into the gravity of the other. They are so close together. And I love that level. And I just love how illogical Mario can get like that.
It is definitely one for, you know, kind of more the game than anything else.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of happened even with, like, I think Zelda, to a certain extent. That's had, you know, kind of cases of, like, having, like, an ice kind of area kind of right next to, you know, kind of greenery or, you know, fire and whatnot.
I think in 8, it wasn't like a sudden change, but depending on where you're walking around and that, it slowly kind of graduates from the snow in the north to like the north of Ezthar's kind of continent. And like, for instance, there's mountains at the back of Balam. They're all snowy.
Yeah.
And obviously that's why we've got that old one ice monster running around the island. Is it Glacial Eye? Something like that.
Oh, I can't remember.
But yeah, you get all your snow magic off if you want.
Wow.
And so there's a sort of, some of them will have a gradual sort of gradation as you kind of move from one area to the other.
Yeah.
And like we've kind of been saying, others it's just this stark kind of like snow, warmer place. Maybe some of that's extremely hot, and no kind of like gradation between the two.
I mean, to a certain extent, it's similar with kind of Bone Village, and then you kind of go to the City of the Ancients, and then when you kind of pop out there, it's all snowy all of a sudden.
In Second Sight, because you're sort of like in the outer reaches of Siberia or something there, or whatever, somewhere in an Arctic wasteland, near the Arctic Circle and all that, and it doesn't get unsnowed. Like, you may go inside buildings, but you're very aware of the fact that these buildings are not the warmest of places. Everyone's kind of dressed up a bit, kind of like, it's sort of rushing kind of heavy overcoats are around here and there, and there are hats. People will not be warm ever.
Yeah, I've just thought of a brilliant idea, like with certain games, like with a Wii U, because I'm just kind of looking at the gamepad right now, is if you had kind of wintry effects on that. So, say, for example, if you're playing like a Fallout type thing and you've kind of got a Pip-Boy where it's kind of, if that actually freezes every now and again, so, or, you know, kind of frosts up or something like that, kind of get you kind of more involved, more kind of believing
in Operation Anchorage in Fallout 3, snow, because, you know, it's Alaska at that time of year when it would probably be kind of icy and all that kind of thing. And, that would have been a nice touch if things had been, like, if tech had been affected enough by the cold. And in fact, actually, it's not like they were using advanced metals or anything for all their guns and that. And surely, actually, guns would have an issue in the cold.
You know what would have been good?
Everything's radioactive, so it might be giving up a little bit of heat in Fallout.
You know what would have been good?
What?
Is if you've, one of the Batman games would have been, they would have had something where you kind of had almost like, not quite kind of block of ice in front of you, but, you know, kind of a very snowy, kind of very, you know, you can't see very far in front of you, and you actually had to use the Wii U controller to actually do the heat vision. That would have been pretty cool.
Well, the detective vision, do you mean? Because that's what he...
Well, yeah, but if he had, like, heat vision as well.
His enemies have heat vision. That's annoying.
Yeah.
At certain points, it's like, oh, let's track him. But there was another snowy... Problem with Batman, though, and snow, and there is an issue with the continued use of snow in Batman games, is the fact that everyone's got it into their head that Batman is Christmas. Christmas and Batman go together. Mm. It's you know, because of a certain...
Batmas.
Director who made some films back in the 80s.
Well, there is a Batman comic called Noel, which I assume is related to Christmas.
It does make me wonder, because if this is getting quite heavy...
Before it, though.
If this is getting quite heavy, whether, like, in years to come, we're actually going to change, you know, kind of the nativity scene with, like, the baby Jesus, with the baby Bruce.
We don't know what his parents made him do before they passed. They were killed, unfortunately. So perhaps he was made to be, when he was a baby, he was made to be baby Jesus in a nativity scene. We don't know.
And what do you want to grow up to be, baby Jesus? Batman! That'd be awesome.
But yeah, I think if the next time they've got a Batman game out of the sort of Arkham franchise, it would be nice if it wasn't snowing. Mm. Arkham Asylum didn't snow.
No, but how does Batman do well in snow anyway? He's wearing absolute black and he's running around in the snow. That's not going to end well.
He doesn't seem to have... I mean, I'm pretty sure he's got, like, camo outfits at some point in some of the games. And in all honesty, though, like, Batman... because it's all everything's lit up. He only just about hides in the shadows.
Yeah.
When he's outside, because there's streetlights and stuff around. You know, and it's just like, really, he should be sort of like urban.
Yeah,
kind
that's true.
Of
it's amazing, like with the Arkham City game and Arkham Asylum and whatnot.
Yeah.
How, basically, when it's kind of flying through the air and whatnot. He's incredibly visible from our perspective, at least. I know it's probably going to be a bad idea if you were to have him like invisible, because it's like, okay, well, I can't quite see where I'm landing, type thing. But
you can add a whole new element of frustrating fun as you try to set off panels to get at Riddler trophies.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking from bitter experience at all there. Not at all.
But, I mean, obviously, because we've talked a lot about, probably more in-depth than we should have, in terms of kind of levels when it comes to snow and ice, but how about ice weapons?
Ooh, are we including magic?
Yeah.
Because ice magic is more prevalent than ice swords and things.
Not just that. Well, you say that, but in, say, something like Final Fantasy X.
We all have our pleasures.
You could make your custom weapons and you could make elemental weapons and all of that. You could have cold weapons, so you'd have like Auron with like one of his giant blades, and there's just this kind of frosty air just kind of rippling and clouding off of it. Whacker with like one of his blitz balls and there's just puffs of ice.
To be honest, I'd completely forgot that you could actually customise your weapons in Final Fantasy X.
This is why it's so awesome!
I know, they've made a sequel, and it's like, you've basically just trashed an entire system, which was actually absolutely brilliant, you know, starting from Blitzball, going through to, you know, customised weapons to the conditional turn-based, battle and whatnot.
Wasn't there a perfectly good story reason for messing up all their systems, though, in 10-2?
Really?
Yeah, because of the end of the Far Plane, spheres were losing their power, and so you couldn't do the sphere grid really anymore.
Ah.
That's why. But
was that something that you kind of looked into, or is that...
No, that's... it does get explained.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you do get ice. You don't get any ice weapons innate because you're expected to do elemental attack junctions.
Yeah.
And obviously equip snow magic so that you
which were interesting because they kind of penalised you for using magic in essence, because that would kind of take away from any junctioned kind of weapon that you're using.
But there were elemental weapons in 9.
Mm.
7, I don't remember there being anything.
No.
Well, you had some, weren't there some that might have? Well, no, because he expected you to do it with materia.
Yeah.
So it would be...
I think there were certain accessories where you can kind of absorb certain elements and whatnot. So, like, say, for example, I think it was the Tetra bangle, which kind of absorbed ice, fire, and lightning, I think.
Mm.
Which could be quite useful.
You can kind of use it as a weapon, but in the first 2 Batman games, or is it only in the second Batman game? Ice grenade.
Yeah.
Ice grenade, that's kind of cool, because you can obviously use that and annoy enemies, or you can make floating platforms. But it doesn't really do any damage, it just annoys people and makes platforms. Oh, and you can use it to cover up vents.
Mm.
So that's quite helpful. I'm trying to think of anything else that actually has icy weapons.
Obviously there's Mario.
Oh, yeah, because you've got your snowballs.
Yeah, the ice balls. Yeah. Well,
ice balls, snowballs.
Yeah, ice balls type thing, yeah.
There's cryo bullets in Mass Effect, at least, certainly has those.
Yes.
There is an ice-based weapon in Metroid Prime, I believe. But it, as far as I'm, as far as I can recollect, anyway, it doesn't actually do kind of anything kind of, interesting in terms of, mechanics.
In which one of the Devil May Cry's, it might have been 4, Did you have ice fists of some kind at some point? You beat a big icy dog. Boss dude.
That might have been three.
It might have been three, but you ended up with icy things that you could attack with.
I remember something about, you know, kind of being like fire and ice type things from Devil May Cry. I think it is in three.
Could be four, though.
It could be four.
Try not to remember four, which is why I'm having difficulties remembering.
Obviously, ice grenades in Resident Evil 3.
It's been a while since I've seen anyone play.
I mean, once again, I don't think it actually kind of froze enemies to the floor or anything. It's just that it was better to kind of use them against certain enemies that were, you know,
I thought weapons in Resident Evil games were generally pretty realistic.
They are. I mean, in terms of, I think Resident Evil 3 was a bit of an odd one out because you actually made ammunition rather than just found it. So you kind of have like powder A, powder B, and powder C. Then you can mix the powders together to make powder C, or, you know, mix them all together and whatnot. And they would kind of produce some sort of ammunition. So you could kind of go through and just kind of collect up all the powders, mix them up, and just have like the one kind of, oh, I'm having freeze rounds, or oh, I'm having acid rounds, and whatnot. But
my two favorite types of Pokemon are ice Pokemon and fire Pokemon.
Why is that?
Because they're so cool and they're opposing types, so it's kind of cool having them in a party together because you can then fight a lot of different things. But ice Pokemon, their moves tend to be quite cool. It's sort of I keep saying cool in a podcast, but it's really bad. And I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. It's not intended pun based on this. but, like, you have Mew's, like, Blizzard. Blizzard was always, like, I mean, that's been in there since the original game. And I think that's, like, a 5 or 10 PP move.
Yeah.
And it's, like, and it's really powerful, but you can't use it that many times.
I'm just trying to think. Have there been any Sonic games that have used ice very much?
Can you imagine sliding around on ice in Sonic? There must be ice worlds in the first
probably.
Few.
Probably.
I really can't remember it. I mean, I remember Hilltop, but I don't think that actually had any ice on. There's bound to be, but it's just not coming to me. It's not one of the more memorable ones, obviously. So, obviously, if they have done it, they've done it wrong.
Fix it, Sonic.
Yeah. Just kind of looking over at the games kind of collection over there and over yonder. And yeah, it's quite interesting. Zombie U obviously didn't have any. Lego City Undercover, I don't believe that had any.
No, it didn't. No. Do you know what, though? Zombie, if they made a sequel to Zombie U, which is unlikely-ish to happen.
Yeah, I'd say ish, because
It would be nice if it was set a bit after the first game, and it was winter.
Yeah.
Because London, when it snows, is an interesting kind of hell
itself. Could you imagine, though? Because obviously they didn't get rid of the zombie population. But if you had it so that somebody actually managed to survive till winter in London.
Well, you never know. It might go the World War Z way, which is that basically they tend to, they don't operate very well in the cold. Which would be good. I can't remember.
Which would kind of make sense if you think about
it.
In the Walking Dead Telltale games, did they actually get cold? Because were there references to winter? I can't remember how far ahead it got. I get confused between the TV series and the comics and obviously all the games.
I don't think they've tackled kind of winter yet.
I'm only three episodes in and they haven't yet.
Okay.
What, is that of the game or?
In
is...
games.
Okay.
Trying to think of cold things. Cold things.
I don't think there's. I mean, it wouldn't really matter per se too much, but there hasn't been any ice levels in many beat 'em ups.
You'll get characters that might have ice moves because you've got Sub Zero and.
That's true.
What's her face?
Which can be used as weapon. Frost, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously Sub-Zero can throw puddles on the floor of ice, can, you know, basically freeze you outright. He has a move where he basically creates a ice doppelganger of himself. Well, I'll say doppelganger, more of a statue, which then if the enemy kind of comes close, then they get frozen. But I think in the original, One thing that didn't make sense was that if you were Sub-Zero and you froze somebody, and they were frozen, and you froze them again, it reverses so that you get frozen and the person doesn't. It's like, how does that work? I mean, you've, like not Resident Evil, Mortal Kombat's fatalities, obviously Sub-Zero had, you know, kind of ice-based finishing moves, so kind of freezing somebody completely and then just kind of splitting them in half, watching their bones fly everywhere and stuff. Although Mortal Kombat 1's fatality for Sub-Zero, that didn't kind of make use of the whole ice thing, because he basically just picked up your enemy's head with a spinal cord and she's like, yay!
He could have turned that into a popsicle, goddammit. Popsicle. Popsicle spine.
You freak me out sometimes.
It's the most logical thing for the character to have done.
Logic.
Or even better, what he should have done was he should have ripped off their arm, frozen it, and made them eat it like a lollipop. That's brilliant. I should be in Midway right now. Well, not even
can't.
Midway anymore.
No.
The WB Games.
Yeah, WB Games.
Oh, NetherRealm Studios.
This is your consultant for ice moves on the next Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
I really want to play your frozen winter zombie game now, because ripping bits off zombies that are frozen in the gutters and using them as weapons against other zombies
would be awesome. I can imagine that happening with Dead Rising, because they usually like to kind of play about with kind of weapons in that.
I'm going to strap this frozen zombie onto a flamethrower.
Yes.
See what happens.
Hand comes back to life, attacks you.
Oh, no, could you imagine that? I mean, if you were to kind of freeze a zombie, right, and then you'd kind of pluck off his fingers, you can actually use them to fire the zombies.
Well, yeah, but surely through the heat of the combustion needed to actually propel it like a gun, you would potentially defrost the digit in the first place, thus making it softer and not actually perhaps having the impact you want.
Stop spoiling
possibly,
the zombie
possibly
finger
not. So, I mean, obviously there is the initial kind of flame of when the bullet goes. But if you think about it, you know, when you're kind of travelling in a single direction very, very, very fast, you know, a bit like when, you know, kind of space debris kind of comes down and does burn up in the atmosphere, but I think sometimes it actually does kind of almost like freeze at kind of the high altitude.
Well, it burns up and then once it gets through there, I think it starts freezing.
Yeah. But, yes, Emily's doing the Royal Wave again, so I think we need to wrap up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Or do we need to wrap up?
Yeah.
Boom, tsh.
Oh, that was actually very good. We just weren't paying attention.
Until we realised too late.
Anyway, so yeah, that's all we've got time for on Nerds Extra. I'm taking over Emily's job now.
Yeah, you are, you bugger.
Well, you didn't do it.
Well, so it's a goodbye from...
Goodbye from me. I'm Matthew. I'm Nerd Tech UK on Twitter.
Okay, it's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
It's good night from me, Emily. I'm on Twitter as EK6891. You can find all your Nerds Assemble loveliness over at nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can also find us on iTunes as Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can find us on Twitter as Nerds Podcast. I will regain the ability to speak when I've warmed up. That is all, and until next time.
Good night.
Ta-bye.